The Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration will come to order. A quorum is present. Representative Jordan, have you had a chance to review the minutes?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I have reviewed the minutes from April 1st, 2025, and I would move their approval.
Representative Jordan moves the minutes from April 1st, 2025. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The minutes are approved. The next order of business is a resolution on legal fees under the P-100 resolution that was adopted by this committee on February 6, 2025, when the vote in an election to the House is the subject of a publicly funded recount. Payment can be approved for each candidate. So we have a series of resolutions that are in the packet along those lines. I will start with the 2025 EC resolution. I move to approve the 2025 EC resolution. Is there any discussion on that? Co-Chair Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would urge member support.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the resolution is approved. Next is the 2025 Wolgamott resolution. I move to approve the 2025 Wolgamott resolution. Is there any discussion on that? Co-Chair Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I urge member support.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the 2025 Wolgamott resolution is approved. Next is the 2025 Paul resolution. I move to approve the 2025 Paul resolution. Any discussion? Co-Chair Long.
I urge member support.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the resolution is approved. Next is the 2025 Tabke resolution. I move to approve the 2025 Tabke resolution. Any discussion? Co-Chair Long.
I urge support.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the resolution is approved. Next is the resolution on implementing the agreement for House organization, the P101B resolution. This is a resolution to update the P100 resolution to deal with updating some items that now need to be updated in the as a result of the fact that we are currently in a 67-67 tie, and I move the P101B resolution. Mr. Gehring, could you walk us through the P101B resolution?
Sure, Mr. Chair. So this P101B is effectively a supplement to the policy that the chair previously referenced, the P100 this committee adopted a few weeks ago. That P100 is the set of policies that are sort of standard policies for the House of Representatives and its operations. This P101B, as the chair mentioned, just provides some additional policy clarifications related to the tie in the House. So there's a few items. Line 8, you see that this new policy would provide that the House policy on remote work may be extended or suspended only by the joint agreement of the Speaker of the House and the Speaker Emerita. Starting on line 11, this committee is designating the Speaker of the House and the Speaker Emerita acting jointly to make decisions related to the employment of staff of the House. Starting on line 16, this is the provision related to the supplemental compensation that is provided to House leaders. This provides for a rotation of leadership positions so that there's a total of 6 leaders being provided the supplemental pay. This current statute only allows for 5 members to be paid that supplemental amount, so this provides for a rotation on a monthly basis effective April 1st of 2025 so that all 6 members of the leadership are covered. And then on page 2, line 1, the Speaker of the House and Speaker Emerita must jointly agree on the allocation of budgets to each committee and caucus. And then line 4 directs the House Director of Human Resources, the House Controller, and House Research Department to work with the Speaker and Speaker Emerita to update the P100 policy to reflect the appropriate leadership titles within each caucus.
Thank you, Mr. Gehring. And I would note that the P101B was negotiated between the Speaker and the Speaker Emerita and agreed upon by both. Any discussion? Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to make sure for the people who hold these titles, you are still getting your regular representative pay during those months, right? If I'm understanding the monthly thing correct?
Yes.
Good.
Any further discussion? Co-Chair Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd urge our members to support.
Seeing no further discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the resolution is approved. Next order of business is the amendment to the Senate Concurrent Resolution 2, which is adoption of the temporary joint rules, and I move the A01 amendment to that Senate Concurrent Resolution. Mr. Guerin, could you walk us through this resolution?
Mr. Chair, sure. So this resolution, as the chair mentioned, proposes to amend the Senate concurrent resolution that came from the Senate to adopt temporary joint rules. There are two substantive changes to the joint rules that are proposed here. One is on line 1.8 of this amendment to provide for conference committees to consist of not less than three or no more than six members of each house rather than five members of each house. That's consistent with the House agreement from February 5th, allowing for even numbered of members on conference committees from the House. And then on page two, there are provisions related to bills that are referred to conference committee. The most, well, line 2.7 allows for other bills passed by either house to be referred to a conference committee. And then on line 2.15 to 2.19, there's a germaneness standard that provides that a conference committee report must only include subject matter contained in the House or Senate versions of the bill for which the conference committee was appointed, or like subject matter contained in a bill passed by the House or Senate that was referred to the conference committee by the Speaker of the House and or the Majority Leader of the Senate.
Thank you, Mr. Guerin. Any discussion? Representative Coulter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question, I think, for Mr. Guerin. So this language on 2.15 through 2.19, you referred that to that as a germaneness standard. And so I guess my question is, not that anyone would do this, but hypothetically, if a conference committee report came back with language other than what's contained in this particular language, am I correct in understanding that that conference committee report would just simply not be in order until that language were removed? Is that correct?
Mr. Guerin?
Mr. Chair, Representative Coulter, that would be a point of objection to the conference committee report.
Okay.
If you feel like it's not meeting the standard in the joint rule, then you'd make a motion to that effect on the floor.
Okay, thank you. I was just curious about sort of the enforcement mechanism there.
It would
thank
be
you.
The basis for a point of order.
Yeah.
Yes,
thank you.
Conference committee report. Representative Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to note, lines 2.15 to 2.19 are currently the House rule. And so this is just inserting into the joint rules what is the House rule in practice. The Senate has not in the past had this language, and in conference committees, that's created some confusion because the House standard has been the one that those conference committees have often used, since that is the House rule. But that's created confusion in the Senate sometimes for the committee reports that are coming out of those conference committees. So this would create consistency and would insert the House approach into the joint rules. So I urge member support. And I would just note that the 5 to 6 on line 1.8 is to accommodate for our current tie. And they need to potentially have up to six conferees, 3 and 3 on our sides in conference committees.
Thank you, Coach Erlong. And I would just finally note that this was a document that Coach Erlong and I worked on together and is agreed on by both of us. So, seeing no further discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. The next order of business is the presentation of the supplemental agreement for House organization. We're not going to take any action on this order of business. This would be a motion to be brought to the floor to supplement the power sharing agreement signed on February 5th, but we wanted to have presentation of that and discussion in the Rules Committee. So, Mr. Guerin, could you walk through this resolution?
Sure. Mr. Chair, so this is the supplemental agreement for House organization dated when it's finally adopted, it will be dated April 2025. Item 12 there is providing for the scope of this agreement. This pulls in some of the preamble that you saw in the previous organizational agreement for the House that provides for the scope and term of this agreement, so it would expire if either caucus achieves a majority of 68 members. And on line 12.2, item 12.2 there provides that each caucus leader is agreeing to work in good faith to secure ratification of this agreement without further amendment. Item 13, starting on 1.12, provides new standards for committee and floor procedure. 13.1 provides that a minority report to a committee report is not in order. 13.2 provides that the fiscal calendar is not in effect for the duration of this agreement. Item 13.3 has to do with the standard for germaneness on the floor. So if a question of germaneness is raised under House Rule 3.21 and the question is put to the body or the decision of the presiding officer is appealed, the affirmative vote of at least one member of each caucus is required to find the motion or proposition germane. Item 13.4 provides a 68-vote standard for two motions that can come up on the floor. One is to adjourn sine die, and the other is to take a bill from the table. Item 13.5 provides that a resolution to vacate the office of speaker may only be approved by the House by the vote of 68 members. And then on the back, item 14 designates the Speaker Emerita as the Speaker of the House for the purposes of serving as the chair of the Legislative Coordinating Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Gehring. Any discussion? Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Directing us specifically to line 2.2 through 2.4, so the part that Mr. Gehring just mentioned a moment ago, help me remember exactly what the LCC process is for who chairs that, and is it by, I can't remember if it's by year or biennium, and between House or Senate, and what that status is for this biennium.
Mr. Gehring?
Mr. Chair, Representative Schultz, yes. So the chair of the LCC rotates on a biennial basis between the House and the Senate, and this particular biennium is to be chaired by the House.
Representative Schultz?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what this is saying here is that the Speaker Emerita is going to serve as the chair of the LCC for this session. I'm just stating that for the record. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative Schultz. Yes, and that was a negotiation point between the Speaker and the Speaker Emerita. Any further discussion? Representative Long, Co-Chair Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to express my appreciation for the collaboration and work on this, and I think this is a good product that patches up some of the things that we might not have thought of when we came up with the original power sharing agreement, and I think we'll make for smooth operations for our caucuses going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Co-Chair Long. Seeing no further discussion, we have no more business before the committee, and that concludes our agenda for today. The meeting is adjourned.